This is Only We Matter Podcast with Jacqueline and Brandon, bringing generations together.
I have a girlfriend. She is, I don't know where she lands actually. She's a Christian, but we had this amazing conversation just recently. The different controversies that are going on, different topics that are hitting, you know, that are very popular out there. I don't want to mention them because, you know, I don't want to get into all of it. But how it is causing division in family. And so we had this amazing conversation about that and how at the end of the day, we are called to be peacemakers and we are called for forgiveness and we are called for love. And all those things wrapped up in together, we can't do them ourselves. We have to have Jesus to do that. And it means sacrifice. What does it mean to make a sacrifice and to be a living sacrifice? What does that mean? Does that mean I just give up coffee? Is that a sacrifice? Perhaps if it's taking me away from Jesus. But I think it's bigger than that. And I think we need to address how much bigger is that? And what does that mean for us on a daily level, you know, walking through our day and
I think so.
And causing hope, being a vehicle, an instrument of hope and of grace, seasoned with love and with forgiveness and truth. Sprinkled with love. And and we also we talked a little bit about throwing pearls to swine. And what does that look like? And is it worth opening our mouth when we know that it's really a conversation that's not going to go anywhere? And at the end of all the ugly that potentially could come out in that conversation, we're going to say, okay, let's just agree to disagree and never bring this up again. So then why would we even start that conversation knowing that we don't have good listening ears on both sides?
Yeah. And that's a difference, right? That's the difference between like wanting to get a point across or something. Like, I think we've created this giant God in our lives in North America. And it's, our rights. We think we have all these rights and constitutionally, sure we do. And we have rights that I think are really good, but we've made a God of that, you're invading my rights. I have rights and my rights should be upheld above your rights actually. And, so we've made this God out of our rights when actually scripture doesn't really talk that much about rights. It talks about who we are and our identity in Christ. I think that's our right. But more than not, we're called to sacrifice. We're called to lay down ourselves before Jesus and for our brother and for our sister and for others and for the other and our neighbor. What it is to love our neighbor as ourselves means laying down our lives for them. You know, it's one thing to lay down your life even for your friends, but what about laying it down for your enemy? Scripture talks about that as well. And like, it's just on and on and on about sacrifice and laying down ourselves. And but we've have this thing called human rights and independence that we thrive on, and we've made it, we've said this is a scriptural principle that we should have, and I'm not sure we got it right. I think we've got it very wrong.
I think so too. And without demeaning anybody or anything before God, at the end of the day we stand alone before God. And that is our belief based on biblical foundations that we taught and believe is that, have we made him God or have we made ourselves in our rights and what we deserve? And do we deserve everything? I don't know. I'm pretty spoiled in my life. My husband spoils me day in and day out. I don't deserve it. You know, and our Heavenly Father is so much greater than that.
Gives
us good things.
Yeah, because it can be pretty scary to like think, oh, I need to lay myself down. That doesn't make sense, right? When I have my best interest at heart, not anybody else.
That's right. Nobody else is going to advocate for me like I can for myself.
That's right. But like when we start discovering God, when we meet with him as our Father, as our Heavenly Father, we realize, wow, like he actually has better things for me than I have for me. Mm. You know, that he actually knows more of me than I know of me. And I think that's the beauty of following Jesus is he leads us right to the heart of the Father. And when we do that, we discover more of who we actually are, as well as discovering who he is. And that's a beautiful thing. But it's that hurdle, is that the holy courage we need is actually to get over ourselves and thinking that I can handle it myself. I can take care of my own self, when actually probably not. You're probably like a really distant second or third.
Yeah.
And we need God to do that for us.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that leads me down the train of thought of what's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Hmm. And there really is a difference. And we need to know in our walking with Jesus, that there is a difference, and that condemnation has no hope. There is no hope when you are condemned. But conviction, there is hope, because you realize, yeah, I've done wrong. This is painful, but I'm going to come and I'm going to ask for forgiveness. And there is hope with that conviction, because it is to lead us to Jesus. And the tough part isn't that he forgives us. The tough part is that we forgive ourselves, so that he can continue to work in and through us. And I think that's something that we need to talk more about, or encourage conversation or education from a biblical perspective on those things, so that we can have the courage to keep walking where he's calling us to walk in those tough times.
I think one of the things that can really help is like a lost practice is a practice of confession.
Absolutely. Right? I agree.
What confession does is it is a surrendering thing. It's like, oh man, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I can't control my life. I have to confess it. Not just to God, but maybe to one another. Mm. It's like actually admitting to a face in front of you, helps you accept that I don't have it all, and that I need someone else. Mm. And then be pointed to God in the midst of that. I think that's really helpful. And being able to admit something and go towards something really beautiful, that forgiveness in Christ, and being able to accept forgiveness, like you were mentioning too.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. Well, it would be interesting to see, and those times of personal confession and conviction are just really private, and I understand that. But it would be interesting to just, do you personally have a way to walk through that? Do you have not a system, but is there something that, like, how do you go through that in your own relationship with God? Do you have a formula? Do you have, is it just, you know, when you're convicted at the time, or is it all of those things?
I think it comes in two different parts. It's like, I think it's Psalm 139, right? Where it says, search me and know me. Mm. I think that just needs to be a regular practice. Do it all the time, because you don't even know all the time what you need to confess. Let God bring it to mind. I think that's pretty significant. Mm. If I'm just waiting for conviction to come all the time, maybe I'm just waiting too long to meet with God, you know? Rather than, so God, I want to be closer to you. Mm. And the way to do that is to have a clear heart and let you purify me. And so, God, what do I need to confess today? What's something that I'm putting in front of you? And it's valuing that relationship with God. So then, you know, for me, it's that prayer and a journal time, and that's what it is. But there's also a value of, like, who's a person in my life that I can have confession to? Who's someone that I know I'm close with? And there's one author I know who suggests doing a life confession every year. I think, a full life confession with somebody and then keep your confessions current is one of his phrases is to somebody, you know. That's one thing I think like maybe the Catholic Church has over the evangelical church here is the idea of confession, of having that. But instead of maybe a priest, maybe who's that good friend in your life that you've shared a lot of deep things with, and maybe have a time of life confession and let that person help lead you to Christ and his forgiveness and trusting that they have your best interest in mind as well there. I think those two sides are really helpful, is that prayer time, God search me, and then that friend of, you know, who has your best interest to be able to point you to Jesus to keep your confessions current.
Yeah, those are really good points, really good strategies and things that we could put into practice for sure. The Word of God is definitely that thing that draws us to Him, that is convicting and yet encouraging at the same time, right? Talking about Psalm 139 and the Word of God is living and active, and it cuts to the marrow of us. And and I think realizing the power behind the Word of God and just being Holy Spirit inspired and taking it for that, not just taking it for granted, but respecting and acknowledging that power, I think is really huge. Yeah. Well, thanks, Brandon, for talking about conviction and courage and condemnation. And I don't even know how we got there, but we talked about a whole bunch of stuff in this episode. So thank you. Thanks.
Yeah.
We're bridging the gap because every generation can learn these things and take it to the next generation. Hey, we're trying to build each other up, not ignore each other, here on Only We Matter podcast with Brandon and Jacqueline. Thanks for listening. Hit the subscribe button and keep the conversation going.